You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com, where audio files are available for download. You can write to the show by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. If you'd like a full transcript, you'd better get a pen. All aboard the English Express.
Have you ever heard the phrase, April showers bring May flowers?
No, but I've heard the phrase, have fun in the sun, get laid in the shade.
Okay, well, they always used to teach us that, you know, or march in like a lion, out like a lamb. But I never...
Wait, what? What was it? No, I heard the first one. What the hell was that last one?
They always used to teach us, march is in like a lion, out like a lamb.
That doesn't even make sense.
That means it begins like really, really powerful and rough. And then it ends really calm, which is a load of horse crap. Because right at the end of March, when it's supposed to be out like a lion, or I'm sorry, out like a lamb, we had a giant snowstorm. Huge. Huge. All right. And also growing up and living out in California, the idea of April showers bring May flowers is a load of garbage too, because it never rains in Sacramento in April.
Yeah, so Sacramento is what's known as a Mediterranean climate. And in Mediterranean climates, like 75% of the annual rainfall happens in 3 months out of the year. And that doesn't happen in April.
No.
Those aren't the 3 months.
But it does and is happening here because it's raining outside right now. And I went outside without a jacket. So that was not fun. But
maybe it'll freeze and then you can ice skate to work.
Maybe. I'm fighting a little bit of a bug here as well. So if I cough or sneeze, hopefully I'll be quick enough to hit my cough button so we don't hear it. Thank you, Brandon.
Excuse
now,
me.
I wanted to start before I get serious because I've got a serious topic, seriously, to talk about. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to start with something heartwarming. Something to make you, believe in society just a little bit more.
A little chicken soup for the soul.
A little chicken soup for the soul. Now, Harlem. You know where Harlem is, right?
I saw them in Salt Lake City. They took on the Washington Generals.
Not the Globetrotters.
They won. It was like they have like the longest winning streak of all time. It was amazing.
We're not talking about the Globetrotters. I mean the actual place of Harlem.
Oh,
it's not.
I think that's in New York, right?
It is in New York, and it's not known as the best place. So there was a homeless man. I'm shocking you that there was a homeless man in Harlem.
I was speechless. I don't know if you caught that or not.
Well, this 14-year-old boy on his way to school sees this homeless guy every single day. And one day decides, you know what? I'm going to help that boy or help that man. And he gives him some spare change and gives him a hug and says, you know, he believes in him. He wants to help him out.
Hasn't this guy ever heard of the Black Plague? I mean, those fleas could have hopped right over.
Yeah. Well, what happened instead was the panhandler stole his cell phone.
One, what's a 14-year-old doing with a cell phone? Two, you deserved it.
Right? This is kind of a case of you get what you deserve. So what do you do if you're the boy in this case?
Cry and rethink my life choices. I mean, what else can you do?
Well, you tell somebody, don't you?
Call
the police?
I'd probably complain to my parents.
Yeah, well, the parents called the police, who showed up and asked him, did you take this boy's cell phone? And, of course, he denied taking it, saying, look, I don't need to go back to jail. But he had the cell phone on him. I don't know how that got here.
He must have planted it on me.
And defying all homeless stereotypes, he had a ponytail and was pushing a blue shopping cart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never heard of a homeless guy with a shopping cart before.
Doesn't that story just warm your soul?
What happened to the phone? Did he get to keep it?
No, he got the boy got it back, but... He learned, hopefully, a valuable lesson about life.
Yeah, I gave my phone to somebody as a teenager once, and it really didn't end well. It ended in a courtroom, actually.
Yeah, you got to tell this story, because I love this story.
You know, it's not a very long story. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but basically I was a teenager in high school.
And she was cute.
No, I was goofing off with a friend who wasn't cute. He was a man, you know.
Okay.
And we were doing stupid martial arts things, kicking each other or whatever, and I didn't want my cell phone to get broken. So I asked this girl who was next to where we were messing around. I was like, "Hey, can you hold my phone for me?" "Sure, I can hold your phone for you." So me and my buddy, we goof off or whatever. I turn around when we're done, and the girl is just gone. Gone. And I'm like, "Hey, anyone know this girl? Where's her next class?" I waited outside of her class after the next period. She never came out. She didn't go to class. She was gone.
Okay. This is a different story from what I heard. I heard you gave it to her because she was cute.
No, that's not at all what happened. And anyway, so when I got to her the next day, she had the phone. And it wasn't until the end of the billing cycle, mom got the bill. In that one day, she had rung up like $440 worth of bills calling a place called Hackensack, New Jersey, which I didn't even know was a place. There's that bug. Oh, it's a doozy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So I call – or it's
so I laughed so hard I coughed.
Hackensack, New Jersey. But yeah, so I had to take her to court, and long story short, we got the bill paid. But stupid cell phones and teenagers.
No, you skipped over the best part of that story. When you guys filed the claim in small claims court, Judge Joe Brown wanted to take it to court.
That's right. He did. He sent us a letter.
And I was like, "Mom, you have got to go on Judge Joe Brown."
I was pleading too. I'm like, "Send us," because he was going to give us a trip to L.A., and he was going to pay for our room, and if we won the case, then he was going to guarantee the money get paid. And I'm like, it's a win-win.
Even if you lose the case, whoever wins gets the money.
Yeah, and mom's like, "You know, it's true, that would be a nice free ride, but we'd also be giving them a paid vacation for stealing your phone."
I don't care. You get to be on Judge Joe Brown. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, I get to air our dirty laundry out to the whole nation.
I would have shown all my friends that.
It would have been a thing of pride. Put it up in the trophy case.
Oh, yeah. You're on a nationally syndicated television show. That would be awesome.
No, but instead, the girl's mom offered to pay a whole $15 a month.
Ooh.
Yeah. And while her and mom were talking, I'm sitting there doing numbers in my head. I'm like, "You know, if we raised it by $2 a month, it would shorten it by like a year and a half. Maybe we can work out something a little better."
Yeah. So, well, at least it got paid. All right. Now, the serious topic that I want to go towards is political correctness. All right. Now, I talked with you a little bit earlier this afternoon about your opinion on political correctness, and I really liked your answer.
Oh, maybe you can repeat it because I have short-term memory loss.
Okay. Well, why don't you just tell me your opinion on political correctness? What is it?
What is it?
Yeah, explain it to anybody who doesn't know.
So political correctness, as far as I understand it, is a manner of saying things that are not offensive. You know, like when you're trying to identify somebody, instead of saying Indians, you might say Native Americans. You know, there's political correctness refers to a way of saying things that's nice.
Okay, so it's a nice way of saying things. Now, people who don't engage in political correctness, do they deserve to be maligned and called out for their insensitive speech?
You know, I really think it depends on how it was used. I think there's a way. How do I say this? I think political correctness can get in the way sometimes of people saying what they actually mean. They're trying to beat around the bush, figure out the right words, rather than just say what's on their mind and get their point across.
How about in comedy? You know, comedy is one of those things that it's really hard to be politically correct in.
Yeah, and with comedy, someone's paying to be entertained. So it's like that's a whole different ballgame. You know, political correctness has more of a place when it's in general populace. But instead, like things with comedy, stand-up comedy, you're paying to go listen to a bunch of jokes. And you know that environment is going to include some questionable material.
So if somebody says something a little off color in a comedy show, you don't think they should be called out on that?
Man, depends on the severity. There okay. can be some pretty bad things. Was it Tosh? What the heck was that guy's name?
No, not Tosh Boy. No, this is a guy named Ralphie May.
Oh, I know Ralphie May. I've seen some of his stuff.
Is he funny?
I laughed. I mean, he's not one of my favorites, but I laughed at his stuff.
Because I got to be honest, I don't know this guy.
He's a real big fat guy.
He
big,
is. Fat white guy. I've got a picture of him right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's him. He's got really messed up teeth, too.
Yeah.
Everyone look at the radios to see Ralphie May.
So he got in a little bit of trouble with the Native American community.
Ah.
He calls his comedy racially provocative, but definitely not racist. His comedy, he says, is designed to take the punch out of perceptions. So he's actually using his off-color remarks to kind of draw attention to the fact that it's not, you know, politically correct. I can't even talk. Politically correct behavior and speech shouldn't be really paid attention to. You know, he wants to get people just to lighten up. Okay. And so he told a joke not long ago that was posted on YouTube by a South Dakota tribal member. Okay. And I looked for a clip. He's pulled it down.
Yeah. Okay.
All clips of this, they still have like what he said, but you can't find audio of this anywhere. Otherwise I would have played it. But he says, and this is hilarious. Okay. He says, "I'm sick of hearing how we're supposed to boo-hoo over blanking Indians, and blank was 120 years ago. Blanking, get over it. Nobody 150 years ago was making you drink now. Dry up, you bunch of alcoholics, and get a real blanking job." Hilarious,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, that doesn't make me laugh.
That's not funny?
No, that's not funny because to me, that's not something that happened a long time ago. I mean, it is, but it's the consequences of those actions are still playing out today, right now. So it's like you're basically sending a whole class of people back to the past. It's like, yeah, black people, you know, that slavery thing, let's just get over it. I mean, really, it was a long time ago. I really don't think that it's such a big deal now. Okay. Racism isn't even around anymore,
well,
right?
Well, I kind of go both ways on this because on one hand, yes, they should get over it, okay? On the other hand, people shouldn't be like bringing it up and making fun of them. If I walk up to a black person and I say, "Well, it looks like you're walking like you have shackles on your feet," I'm going to say that's probably way out of line.
Yeah, you made me nervous just saying that as an example.
Yeah, I would like to be clear. I'm not saying that, and I would never say that. I'm saying that would be way out of line.
Because I'm like, if you had the Pants on the Ground song to play right now, it might go pretty well with your racist comments.
Yeah, I don't have that one. But that's talking about something that's happening now. If you bring up the past and talk about the past and make fun of people from the past, that's not cool. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and especially referring to all Native Americans today as alcoholics, you know, just go shut up and drink your fire water. That's pretty racist, man.
I have to agree with that. So in this case, I have to say political correctness is not the case. I think this guy just threw up on the line. He didn't just step over it.
Threw up on the line. I haven't heard that before. I like that.
I actually heard it on The Simpsons.
Nice.
And the Native American who posted it, who heard it, she comes from a reservation called the Pine Ridge Reservation, where the unemployment rate is 72%. And they have a horrible suicide epidemic. Hmm. And he's telling them these things, you know, but he defends himself. He says that it was taken out of context. You just didn't get his final joke, which I looked up. He was the point of his joke, the punchline, was that he was angry that Dances with Wolves got Best Picture instead of Goodfellas.
All right.
Makes all sense in the world now, right?
Yeah, that's a good reason to take a whole class of people and say that they abuse substances. Good job, Ralphie.
Yeah, well, he's definitely suffering for it. His next show after that was released was canceled, and he's doing a show supposedly on the 13th of this month up in the Sioux, right near the Sioux Reservation, up in South Dakota, where I just was, and he's got a lot of pressure to cancel that, or the people to the venue to say he can't perform there, and he feels like he's being railroaded. And you know what? I actually believe that it's the market at play. If you say something that's offensive and you really cross the line, it's up to us, the public, to kind of walk away from that and say, I'm not going to patronize your show, or for the venue to say, I'm not going to allow you to do a show on my private property. Go find somewhere else.
No, see, I agreed with the first part, and I think that's where it needs to stay. I think the venue, really, I don't think the venue should be held accountable for his speech in the first place.
No, they're not. But what if people? Well, right, but what if people who buy?
Say, if,
go ahead.
If the people say don't let the show play, and the theater says, well, we're going to let them do it anyway. All that angry mob is going to see is you're racist too. You're the problem, just like he is. I think it should be more up to the people to decide, well, I don't want to support that comedian, and have the venue be empty, you know, come
okay,
showtime.
But what if people are – and that's if people still buy tickets. But if you bought a ticket to the venue, okay, and you go back and you say, hey, I want a refund because of this stuff. Of course they're giving out refunds. And as the venue starts to empty, they're going to say, hey, we're not going to make any money on this, and cancel the show.
That does make sense. That's more less of a statement and more of a business decision.
Exactly. And I think it's well within the public's right to do that kind of thing.
But I don't think the business made that decision for that reason. I think they saw the public outcry and didn't want to get caught in the middle and decided to back out.
Maybe. But if you've got a public outcry, I totally understand their business decision. Now, it would be different if you have this huge upswelling of people saying, you know, we love this guy, we support this guy. He has nobody supporting him.
Yeah, like I said, he was very meh when I was – he has stuff on Netflix that I watched, you know, a year or two ago. And it was, you know, kind of funny.
Okay. Well, that did not make me laugh. So this next story, I've got another one here about Native Americans, all right? Now, this one is about a Yale professor. Where do you come down on offensive Halloween costumes?
The only time I really find it really offensive is when it involves children and making it inappropriate. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, if you're an adult, do you have a right to wear potentially offensive Halloween costumes? Like, remember, what was it? A story of a couple of months ago that... that character from Orange is the New Black who like painted her face in blackface.
Yeah. And there's also a movie out called Dear White People. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it basically tackles this issue in a fictitious college setting, because there's lots of college campuses that are having Halloween parties and painting themselves in blackface and having, you know, ghetto parties or whatever. And it is terrible and offensive and really crossing the line.
Okay. But do you think that they should have the right to do that? Disagree with them all you want. And understanding that any social consequences could be applied to them, just like with Ralphie May. I mean, nobody is legally trying to stop him from say what he wants to say, but he could potentially ruin his career here. He's doing that to himself.
The reason I don't think they should have the right to do that is because I think people should be allowed to do whatever they want to do as long as they're not hurting somebody or creating fuel for a fire, you know. But if you go out there painting your face, holding a fake gat and pretending to rob people at a party, a black person that might be there at the party, he might go punch you in the face, you know, and it could start an entire war inside this house. It's kind of, I don't know, amping up the situation.
That could be considered inciting somebody, provoking somebody. We're not talking about provocative, like, you know, provoking people. I'm just talking about like something like a white guy wearing a Native American headdress. That may be off color, but is there anything wrong with it? He's not provoking anybody. He's not inciting riots. He's not getting anybody to come punch him in the face. It's just in poor taste.
Well, right, but when you're doing something in poor taste against a race, somebody of that race might decide, well, that is inciting me just by, you know.
Well, then they're wrong, too. If they go and they physically accost him, they should go up there and verbally accost him. Okay, but they should have the right under our free speech laws, our First Amendment, which I take very seriously. They should have the right to do stupid things that I disagree with. Isn't that what America is all about? That we, I may hate what you do, but I defend your right to do it, or say it, or express it.
I'm sorry, dude. I just cannot ever tell someone they have the right to dress up like as a white person, paint their face black, dress up like a gangster from the hood, and start running around pretending to commit crimes, because that's what these people are doing.
So you think they should be arrested for that?
I think that they should be told to stop forcefully.
Well, told to stop is a consequence. Losing all your friends is a consequence. Being maligned on the news and television is a consequence. But they're not going to be thrown in jail over it. That's what I'm saying.
I guess not. I mean, I don't know how severe of a punishment you want to make for it, but
public outcry.
Okay, so you obviously have some very structured thoughts on the subject that you are dancing around. Why don't you reveal
it to us? I'm being totally honest. I agree with the Yale professor whose name is what is his name?
I don't know, you tell me.
Nicholas Christakis of Yale. And he sent an email out saying that students on the Yale campus should be allowed to wear potentially offensive Halloween costumes. That shouldn't be banned. He wants kind of like the public to take care of itself, that it's not against the law, and so the school shouldn't make it against the rules. Now, if people choose to do that, they have to suffer whatever consequences come, but it shouldn't be against the rules.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. Along with your free speech laws, I'm sure somewhere in there it says something like, unless it creates a clear and present danger. Am I close on that?
Yeah, if it creates a clear and present danger, I think that that's kind of like yelling fire at a movie theater.
Yeah, I think that's not allowed. I think some of the crap that they do on these college campuses is creating a clear and present danger. I don't see how anybody ban that.
But we're talking about something that's not creating a clear and present danger that someone else finds offensive. Like, what if I dress like a vampire and somebody says that's offensive to people from Transylvania?
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that dress that are defending people from Transylvania.
What if I am from Transylvania and I'm offended? What do you tell me?
That's a little different than mocking a Bram Stoker character instead of an entire culture of very real people. We're talking about pretending to be something fictional in a book versus pretending to be an entire class. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I hope I'm coming across okay.
Well, I have a student who confronted this professor, okay? And I want you to tell me if this is out of line, okay? What she does is she meets him outside. And
so just to be clear, the professor that said this stuff should not be banned on school, this is a student that's responding to him.
He suggested that students should be free to wear potentially offensive Halloween costume. Okay? And in this audio, you'll hear this female student, as soon as he tries to talk and explain himself, very calmly, by the way, she tells him to be quiet, and you'll hear her remind him that it's his job, this is his job, okay, to create a place of comfort and home for all the students. Okay? So listen to her explaining calmly her views.
The exception is because other people have rights too, not just
you. To be in one safe space here, we're all be quiet. As your position as master, it is your job to create a place of comfort and home for the students that live in Silliman. You have not done that. By sending out that email, that goes against your position as master. Do you understand that?
Then no, I stop. Don't agree with that.
Then why the did you accept the position?
Because
hired you!
I have a different vision.
You should step down! If that is what you think about being a master, you should step down! It is not about creating an intellectual space! It is not! Do you understand that? is about creating a home here. You are not doing that. How do you explain that? These freshmen come here and they think this is what Yale is? Do you hear that? They're going to leave. They're going to transfer because you are a poor student. You should not sleep at night.
We're out. We out.
You're disgusting.
He should not sleep at night.
Did she say that his job is not to create an environment of learning?
No. She said that his job is to create a place of comfort and home to the students.
Because I heard her say something like, it is not to create a learning environment, it's to create a sense of home.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's look, I think that the guy has a point. I think that people should be allowed to wear something that might be mildly offensive to some people. And I don't think that he should be accosted like that. I mean, that woman was out of control.
Yeah, but again, dude, it's a different story when we're talking about, like, if I'm wearing, you remember the old TV show Dinosaurs, right?
Okay. And
they had that little baby, not the mama, that little guy.
Yeah.
If I dressed up as him in a bikini, right, that might be mildly offensive to some people, especially given the way my body looks. Giggity. But that's different. That's different because I'm making fun of something fictitious, some little character. Yeah, some people might find it offensive, but I should have the right to do that. That's an entirely different story than dressing in blackface and making fun of somebody with a different skin color than mine.
Okay.
And just like I was angry about the Ralphie May making fun of Firewater for Native Americans and, yo, you're all just drunks, go back and get a real job. I'm offended by that because it's taking a whole class of people, and attributing a negative stereotype to them. And these college parties are doing that in mass, in very blatant ways, and I can't get on board with that.
I agree with you that it's wrong, but I disagree with you that it should be made illegal. And I think it's okay to ban potentially offensive costumes from, like, official school events, as long as it's made very clear what exactly is allowed and not allowed.
But isn't this happening at frat parties that have to get sanctions by the universities to even have their house? Isn't this an extension of the school?
It's not an official school party, though. So I think they should be allowed to. Now, I think they're wrong for it, and I think that they should be called out for it, but I don't think that they should be expelled or arrested for it.
No, I don't think expelled or arrested. I mean, I wasn't saying that. I was saying they should be punished appropriately. Expelled and arrested seems like too extreme of a move.
Okay, well, tell me how you feel about this move, okay? Breitbart is a website that does a lot of news stuff. Okay?
I thought it was somebody's name, and I felt really bad for that guy.
No. It's a website, okay? And one of their tech editors, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Okay? I feel bad for that guy now.
He is planning this coming October, right before Halloween, to give a lecture on cultural appropriation. It means, like, taking other people's culture. And he's going to be wearing full Native American garb while he gives his lecture.
Mm.
Now, as you can see from the picture I'm holding up, everybody look at your radios. This is a white guy, clearly a white guy, not a member of a tribe, not affiliated with anybody. He's dressed up like a war chief. And he's going to give a lecture. He says that these are ridiculous people who deserve to be provoked. Girls like what we heard talking to the professor.
Deserves to be provoked. These are people in Yale. These are our best and brightest in the country. And this is the crap they're arguing over.
Yep.
I can't facepalm hard enough, dude.
Well, we're going to come back with something a little bit more fun. I just kind of wanted to talk about that to start the show, because we don't usually talk about really serious things. And so
and it frustrates me. And you got my goat, man. You got my engine running, because I'm like, the regalia that he is in is culturally significant to certain tribes. And it's not, if you looked at how he was painted and the headdress he was wearing, it's not even from the same tribe. He's mixing and matching to making his caricature of Native Americans. And I'm like, dude, we're alive right now in your world, and you're making us a mascot to play your stupid Yale games. I'm frustrated. I'm going to have to take a break.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Definitive walked into a bar, drinking a drink. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Right.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Catch Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, gray-black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
I wondered why the Frisbee was getting bigger. Then it hit me. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. I feel so welcomed.
Yeah, you should be. You're the only other one here because we've been picking different times to do our recording.
Lonely. I'm so
lonely. Yeah, we probably shouldn't sing.
Yeah. I wanted to apologize. Reacted emotionally in the previous segment.
Well, it's an emotionally charged subject.
Yeah, didn't really choose my words carefully. So yeah, I'll try to be more composed this time around.
All right. Well, we're not. We're getting off onto a different subject now. And I want to tell you a story from 30 years ago about a 21-year-old who went missing from a group home in Ontario, Canada. He just left. Now, this is a guy who had tried to commit suicide a few times. He had developmental delays. He functioned at a child's level. So when he disappears, what do you think?
I would imagine he probably wandered off.
Well, and for 30 years?
Oh, he probably died, yeah.
He had tried to commit suicide several times before.
So maybe he wandered off to some tree and jumped off or something.
Who knows? Well, what actually happened was he got on a bus and decided he wanted to go to Niagara Falls. But, he's got, like I mentioned, he functions at a child's level, and he got on a bus that went somewhere else.
Whoops.
And he ended up in St. Catharines, and you guessed it, he fell down and hit his head and forgot who he was. So he's been living in this town for 30 years, living his life, and just a few weeks ago, he was sitting there, and he snapped his fingers and said, "Hey, I remember my name."
Wow.
And
so this guy's like in his 50s now, right?
Yeah, he's in his 50s, and he spent the last 30 years living in St. Catharines, about 80 miles from where he disappeared. And he remembered his name and told a social worker who kind of researched it and figured out where he came from. And the investigators who were trying to figure it out, they're thrilled. They say that they're glad he's alive, and they're glad they have closure after all these years, because his family, everybody thought he was dead.
Yeah, and after that long, it's like he's long since been almost not forgotten, but, you know, put in the back of your mind.
Yeah, they figure he's gone, exactly. But he wasn't, so anyway, I thought that
Surprise!
Was...
Surprise!
Right?
And all the birthday cake like, you got to catch up on.
Well, I think he's been having birthdays, you know, just somewhere else with someone different. So, anyway.
Oh, think about that. He must have been able to pick his new birthday.
Right, because he doesn't remember anything.
Yeah, he got to choose whatever one he wanted.
I should pull this. Just wander off and pretend like I forgot my name.
Get a van first. It'd be more comfortable in a van.
Yeah, down by the river.
Yeah, make sure it's a white van, a white windowless van.
I'm sure that'll work out well.
Appropriate music.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true.
So it's time for the criminal pile. I've got some stories of some wonderful criminals across this great country we have. This one starts at a Wendy's restaurant.
Oh, I love Wendy's.
Yeah, it is pretty tasty. Huh? I love how their burgers are square.
And so cheap.
Yeah, yeah. So this is... this is about a 25-year-old woman named Lovely Robinson.
Oh, God, what a name.
And she's feeling like some Wendy's. So she goes through the drive-thru and orders, I want two spicy chicken sandwiches. No, wait.
Oh.
Make that $4.99 chicken sandwiches. Okay? And they tell her, pull ahead into the parking space and wait. We'll bring it out to you. God, I hate when they do this.
I know. I'm like, you're not going to serve the person behind me much faster, dude. I'll just wait here.
Yeah,
they usually
no.
ask you. They usually ask you, and then just I love seeing their reaction when you tell them no.
Do you tell them no?
No, I'm joking. I never do that.
I know. I haven't done that either, but I still hate it when they ask us to pull up and wait. Okay.
If you ever choose to do it, record it for me.
Okay, well, she pulls up to wait, and they finally bring the order out, and it's two spicy chicken sandwiches.
Well, aren't those spicy chickens like $3 each?
Yeah, but they charged her card, and she's like, I wanted $4.99 chicken sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, we got a problem.
Yeah, we got a problem. So she got out of her car, went inside, and said, you gave me two spicy chicken sandwiches. I wanted 99-cent chicken sandwiches.
These are not lovely sandwiches.
This order's wrong. And they said, well, I'm sorry, but that's what you ordered. We're not going to reverse the charge, and that's what you get. That's when she jumped over the counter and clamped down with her teeth above the manager's left knee. She bit her leg and started chewing.
That woman was really hungry.
Yeah. So the
from now on, he'll be able to point to it and be like, this is a lovely bite.
So, so manager LaTanya Nelson says, I'm guessing she only had $4 to spend instead of $11 to spend. So she was forced to defend herself. She says, she didn't have me in size, but she had heart. I'll give her that. And she was promptly arrested and taken to jail.
Yeah, that'll happen when you bite people.
Yeah, intentionally damaging property, preventing law enforcement from making arrests. Oh, that's lovely, because you know what that means. Preventing law enforcement from making arrests. That means she fought the cops, too. And trespassing, because they asked her to leave. So, next story. I love this story. So,
why don't you marry it?
What do they say about government workers?
Good enough for government work.
Which means what?
That good enough is good enough.
And do government workers often get fired?
No, they get to have nice cushy jobs where they're protected from being fired just based on how long they've worked there.
So if they've worked, if you got a guy who's worked there for 20 years, does he deserve like a little certificate? You know, hey, congratulations, you know, we want to give you an award for 20 years of loyal and dedicated service.
It's a nice thing to do, but it's not something that should be expected.
No. And the guy wasn't expecting it. But the deputy mayor shows up and 69-year-old Joaquin Garcia, He'd been there for 20 years, and the deputy mayor wanted to give him a little bit of recognition. So he goes out to the office where he works and says, hey.
69, he wanted to give him a boot out the door.
Okay. Well, he's like, well, where's Joaquin? He doesn't seem to be in his office. And the water company manager who works at the office with him has the office right across from his and says, you know, actually, I haven't seen Joaquin in a couple of years. I don't remember him, like, ever coming to work.
Oh, no. He's not.
No.
He's not in the room still.
That's not where this is going.
Okay, I thought he was still in his office. I'm like, nobody smelled him?
No. He's not in his office. Okay, because they've been cleaning it. You know, the janitors have been going in there every day. So he's not in there. But nobody ever remembers seeing him. Turns out, he's been home for the last 6 years. He has not shown up to work at all. And he's been collecting a salary the entire time.
That doesn't seem ethical.
And not a single person noticed. He says he was bullied and given a job with no actual work because he was a socialist. So they're like, you know, they gave him busy work. And he's like, this is crap. So he just didn't do the work since he didn't have any responsibilities. And after a while, he just went home. He says he's become an avid reader of philosophy and an expert on the works of Spinoza.
I have a feeling that this is where America would go if socialism was a thing.
I think you're correct. Well, they sued him because, hello, you haven't shown up to work in 6 years.
And, I think they have a pretty good case.
Well, he fought it. I don't know how you fight this, but he lost. And he got fined about $30,000, which is only about 1 year's salary after taxes.
Oh, those guys got shafted.
Yeah, well, that's the most that they could legally get. So, kind of feeling it's a Joaquin 5, Spain 1. All right, last story I've got here. You go in. Or a woman goes in. Okay, you're a hairstylist. Okay, woman comes
feel
in for
like
a haircut.
A woman.
Okay, someone comes in, gets a haircut from you. Okay, and
Okay, so I'm a female hairstylist. I'm not going to get my hair cut.
No. You're a hairstylist. Okay.
Okay, so I'm making them feel like a woman.
And it's a man. It's a man who did the cutting. All right, and so you go in there, you cut the hair, looks pretty good, and you say that'll be $24, and then she gives you a $20 tip.
I'm confused. I thought you said it was a dude cutting. I was cutting a dude's hair.
No. You're a dude cutting a girl's hair.
Oh, okay. All right. And so, $20 tip. Thank you, ma'am.
On a $24 bill. That's not bad, right?
Well, I'm handsome. It happens a lot.
So you're going to be feeling pretty good about yourself, right?
Oh, yeah.
So about 3 hours later, she comes back in with a bald spot on one side that you didn't do. Okay. And she, like, totally cut her hair, messed it all up. She comes in screaming, look what you did to my hair!
No, ma'am. That wasn't me.
Well, she pulls out a gun on you.
Holy crap.
And starts pulling the trigger 3 times, but the gun is jammed.
Oh, thank goodness. Must be a Glock.
So how do you respond now?
I probably try to tackle her and get the gun out of her hand, honestly.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So now she and her bad hair are facing attempted murder charges. And the guy's like, she's insane. He said she didn't walk out like that with bald spots on her hair.
Did they ever explain how the hell?
No, she used a straight razor and started cutting her own hair. And
what a whack job.
And isn't that weird that she gave a $20 tip on a job she didn't like?
Maybe she meant to give like a dollar and grabbed the wrong bill.
Whatever, she was pissed.
And so she looked in her wallet later and was like, oh, I'm gonna show this guy.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting story. So that's
crazy.
Yeah, well, that's it for criminal news. We'll be right back with another segment here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
I'm a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
Wi-Fi everywhere.
More playgrounds.
Oh, more ice cream trucks.
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you.
To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org.
Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
For over 70 years, Smokey Bear has asked you to use fire responsibly.
Fire is due to an unattended campfire.
Go time.
Here's how you can stay on the front lines of preventing wildfires. Always watch your campfire before leaving. Drown it, stir it, drown it again, and feel that the fire is out cold.
Oh, bullseye!
And you won't need a visit from Dusty's team.
Copy that.
Visit SmokeyBear.com for more fire prevention tips. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state foresters, and the Ad Council.
For más de 70 años, Smokey Bear ha pedido que utilices fuego con responsabilidad.
Fire is due to an unattended campfire.
Esto es como tú puedes evitar incendios forestales. Siempre vigila tu fogata. Antes de ir, ahógala, mezclala, ahógala otra vez y siente que la fogata se ha extinguido.
Oh, bullseye!
Y no necesitarás la ayuda de Dusty y sus amigos.
Copy that.
Tú puedes ser el compañero de Smokey y evitas incendios forestales. Patrocino por el Servicio Forestal de los Estados Unidos, sus agentes forestales y el Ad Council.
Learning English can be hard. Don't like it? Try it with Mustard. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast. And I forgot to mention, Brandon, you're muted.
No, you're muted.
Oh, it said mute on your thing.
It lied.
Anyway, I was. You'll notice that the first segment of the show was kind of about Native Americans a little bit. I was thinking about kind of, and tell me what you think about this, kind of doubling it up. I was going to make this podcast both an English Express one and also a Puyallup Native Tribal podcast as well.
Oh, maybe we should have, discussed that before we started.
I was going to, but then I forgot.
Oh, Clifton, always the planner.
I tell you what, it's it happens. But yeah, I'm going to
prepare for 1 hour of radio. This is what you get. You're welcome.
Well, I did prepare. I thought we did pretty good. I liked that segment. And we kill two birds with one stone as well.
Ooh.
So tell me, what is the sexiest accent?
Oh, that's a hard question. Because Hugh Jackman, he's got me pretty good, but.
And where's he from?
Aussie. He's Australia.
He's Australian. Okay.
But then Hugh Grant's pretty nice too.
And where's he from?
I think he's from Great Britain.
Hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I really like the European.
Well, Great Britain comes in sixth. Australia is fifth.
Really?
Yep.
Well, they maybe French is up there somewhere.
French used to be first. They were the sexiest accent for a long, long time, but they have now dropped to fourth.
Oh no, poor Frenchies.
That's right. So you're missing who came in first.
So I'm at fourth, fifth, and sixth is what I've built up.
That's right. You've missed
Well, no way Americans is on the list. Americans' accents are so unsexy.
No, they're nowhere on this list.
Good. They shouldn't be. They have no place on this list.
Let me see if you can recognize this accent. Wait. Oh, it won't play.
It sounds like silence. Is silence on the list?
No, it's not. But I
thought maybe some ASL was pretty sexy.
What? American Sign Language? What is wrong with you?
I thought that was the accent you were playing. This is my American Sign Language accent. You ready? Here it goes. Pretty good, huh?
That is pretty good.
Spot on.
Okay, I got it now.
If you remember back in 1998 when Cliftonville won the title, they sunk like a stone
in
the next few years. And this Cliftonville side, that won't happen.
That's right.
I'm sure. But
Irish is the sexiest accent.
When you look at last season's record,
and do you know who's number two?
Scottish?
No, and it won't play that one either. Yes, it is Scottish.
I thought you fixed your buzzer.
I did fix the buzzer, but it just went away.
Okay, I'm
so, you know, I was shocked that Mexican didn't make the list.
Yeah, I was thinking Spanish, because Spaniards, they have Spanish women, I think.
Okay, you know, I have a great example of the Mexican accent and how sexy it is. So I'm going to play this. I think you'll really like it.
Okay, I'm expecting a very important delivery at the house, so could you please call me if it arrives? I'll give you my cell number.
Okay, yes. No problem. Give me number.
Okay, 401-555-1125.
40.
No, I was just repeating the 4. 1-4.
1-4.
All right, let's start over. 401.
4-0-0-1-1-4-0-1.
Yes. 5-5-5.
5-5-5.
That was painless. Okay, 1-1-2-5.
1-1-2-5.
There you go. You got it.
1-5-5.
What?
You say 1-1-2-5s. 1-5-5.
No, not 1-1 and 2-5s, 2-1s.
2-1-1-1-2-5.
Oh, my God.
Okay, how many ones?
No, I'm not giving you quantities of the numbers. I'm giving you the numbers. 1-1-2-5. Those are the last 4 numbers.
Okay. 1.
1-1.
1-1.
2.
2.
5.
5. Oh, I see. 1-1-2-5.
Yes, 1-1-2-5. All right, now read the number back to me.
Let me get my pen.
Yeah, that was a pretty hot accent, man. I got to tell you.
Why do I love that show so much?
I got to clean the cream in my jeans.
That is the only reason I read that story.
You did prepare. Congratulations, Cliff.
All right. How do you punish your kids?
It's a varied and flexible punishment that I give my children.
So when the older brother hits the smaller brother, what happened to us?
Oh, to us?
Yeah, to us.
The older brother told the younger brother, if you yell, I'm going to hit you harder.
Okay. But when the older brother got caught, which he did plenty of times, what was the punishment?
Usually you got hit.
Oh, okay. Sans hitting.
Oh, well, you said what happened. I just told the truth.
Okay, I deserved that. I'm talking about when we did things and didn't get hit as punishment.
I don't know. Maybe you had to work.
Okay, go to work.
Or loss of privileges. Maybe they took away your computer wires or your Nintendo wires.
Okay, yeah, no video games, no watching TV.
Maybe, no going outside to play with friends.
Yeah, no going outside. Put your
telephone.
Yeah, no telephone. Put your nose on the wall, for example.
Oh, right. I forgot all about that.
Okay, so.
Wow, I forgot all about the nose on the wall.
That's so yesterday. What do people do now?
Oh, well, if you have angry feelings, we should talk about them and make sure you feel okay with everything that's going wrong in your life.
And by the way, I'm taking away your internet privileges.
Well, yeah, I guess. If you want to talk about parents that actually punish their kids, no cell phone.
You know, and I liked this story because I just, my little son, Jason, he just, you know, gets in trouble because he's on his tablet so much. I took it away from him. And I'm like, you know, no more tablet. And then he was without it for over a week. And then when I finally gave it back to him, I put a limit on it of only 2 hours a day. And then it turns itself off.
So you can program that into the device?
Yeah, absolutely. And my favorite thing is when he walks away and then it keeps going. And then he's like, well, it's not working. I'm like, well, you walked away. You got to turn it off if you want it. Then he cried and I said, well, plan better tomorrow. So I'm hoping it kind of teaches him some responsibility, you know?
Yeah.
Now only, Are you comfortable with the amount of time that your children spend online?
My children spend almost no time online.
Not watching videos or anything like that?
Oh, okay. You and I have a different definition of being online.
Online, on a computer, you know, on the tablet, watching YouTube or Netflix or something like that. That's online.
I mean, the way my children watch television is through the Xbox on the front room TV. But I don't consider that being online.
No, well, are they playing video games online?
No, they'll be playing single player local games.
Okay. All right. Well, 71% of parents are comfortable with the amount of time their children spend online. I would fall into that 30% because that's why I took his thing away from him. Are you comfortable with the amount of time he spends watching TV in general?
I'm trying to adjust that. Honestly, no. I think it's gotten a little bit out of hand, and it's something that we're dialing back on as a household.
Yeah, well, you're in 50% of parents. Half of all parents say they're comfortable with the amount of time their kids watch TV. And that's one of the reasons why I took the tablet away, because I wasn't comfortable with either. Now, would you say that having internet access, just in general, whatever they use it for, having internet access reduces the amount of time that children spend face-to-face with their friends?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it sounds like you're using the words internet access to refer to anything to do with electronic, you know, pastimes.
That's how I see it. But only 11% say that it reduces the amount of time children spend face-to-face with their friends. I think these parents are in la-la land, because I'm kind of feeling like kids spend way too much time indoors nowadays as compared to when I was a kid. We used to go outside all the time.
Yeah, it used to be all day outside, but now it's like kids will want to have their parties indoors next to a video game system, as opposed to, you know, going out to the racetrack or going to ride your bikes all over town or whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah, and I kind of think that they should go spend more time outside. I can't wait till my kid gets old enough to go outside and just play. And I can trust him. Because
except he'll be out there playing all by himself, because none of the other parents are letting their kids out.
Yeah, well, he'll find some friends. All right.
Oh, yeah, I loved playing with myself as a kid.
Okay. Last story. How would you feel, or how would your wife feel if you gave flowers to other girls?
Are these girls like children or
No, your peers.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't be too fond of that.
No? So I like the story because it's based out of Smithfield, Utah, just north of Logan, where I actually went to college. And I like this. He goes to Skyview High School, who always lost their football games. I mean, because there's a down on the south end of town, there's a meatpacking plant. And the story was that whenever Skyview from the north end of town had to go down there, they felt that oppressive meat smell and they couldn't perform. And whenever the South High School went up north, they were like, we can breathe now. So poor Skyview always lost. But anyway, there's a 17-year-old high school student who goes to Skyview, and he saved $450 from jobs he had working at McDonald's, Mexican restaurant, and a grocery store to buy Valentine's Day flowers for every single girl at Skyview High School, except for his girlfriend, of course.
Wow, what a nice guy.
He passed out 900 flowers, one for every girl, and it was totally worth it. I'm wondering how he still has a girlfriend, but she thinks it was sweet.
Wow, what a waste of money.
Right?
No, those Utah people are crazy. You're going to have to tell some of the... You'll have to collect a bunch of stories of the crazy stuff that they do for, like, promposals. Utah, oh, yeah. Man... They step up their game when it comes to asking a girl out to a dance.
Yep. I think his girlfriend is, I don't think she'll be his girlfriend very much longer.
Well, that's okay. He'll have a big pool to choose
that's
from.
That's what this is. That's what this is. When he breaks up, he's like, I'm the sweet guy who gives flowers to everyone. This is a plan.
But the smart girls will see right through his armor and be like, no, you're the D-bag who tries to get in every girl's pants.
He's not looking for the smart girls. Thanks for joining us this week on the English Express Radio Podcast. Email us info@theenglishexpress.com or find us online, theenglishexpress.com. I had something else to say, but...
Wow, best ending ever! Everybody, stand up. We need a round of applause for Mr. Clifton.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Smell you later.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Be a part of the program by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are available online, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. On the bus, in the shower, out back with the pool boy. Wait, what? Let's start the show. All aboard the English Express.